Give us your wisdom today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. I'll be reading from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 5, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 5. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins, as well as for the sins of the people. No one takes this honor upon himself. He must be called by God, just as Aaron was. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming high priest. But God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to become, or be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. You may be seated. Thank you for standing and reading the Word of God with me. The problem with today's passage is we must do a sermon or a speech or 3 minutes talk about every verse in this passage. So the problem today was dividing it up so it'd be edible for us to understand it and get through. But I think the main theme today is Jesus Christ, a merciful and faithful high priest, better than Aaron. So it's been a great basketball season. We've enjoyed this fall, this winter, watching a lot of the local teams like Black River or Northwestern, even Cloverleaf, it's on this year, Hillsdale and Ashland University, play to show that they are qualified for postseason play and also rankings, state rankings. And, you know, when the regular season ends, like it has for most high school teams now, each team will play in the postseason until all but one is disqualified. They're showing that they're qualified to participate in this event. The believers in Rome were on the wage or on the verge of being disqualified. Disqualified from all the blessings that we have in Christ because of leaving their testimony because of persecution. Cindy and I have been to Rome, and we've gone to the catacombs that are under the ground. Everybody knows the catacombs, right? It's in the cemetery under the ground. And there are a lot of tombstones, a lot of coffins there with ships on them, or with signs of things that were burned. So obviously, it was obvious to us that this is where a lot of Christians' bodies were laid and suffered through persecution. this situation needed revelation from God, just like we need revelation from God too, don't we? We need God's word all the time. They needed revelation from God to show how Jesus is the one from whom they can receive all the strength that they would need to maintain their testimony and resist the temptation to let go, to jump ship, to go AWOL and fall back into their old ways of the past. But what they needed to do was hold firmly to the faith that they professed. It's a letter that's written to believers, people who are professing Christians, so that they will remain faithful to the end. You know, if we are honest, we might admit that we all need a priest. We all have needs, don't we? We all need help. We all have hang-ups. We need a mediator or a priest to stand between us and God. Well, Christ is that mediator. Christ is that priest. And there is no other. Christ is our great high priest. And the passage that we will look at today will give us three qualifications that Jesus Christ has to serve as our great high priest. Three qualifications that he has. First of all, Christ's ability to encourage his people. Look at verses 14 through 16 again. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So Christ has the ability to encourage his people, people who have trusted in Christ as their Savior. Because, first of all, verse 14, he was highly exalted. He has risen from the dead. He has passed through the heavens, it says. He has been made actually higher in the heavens, as opposed to earthly priests of Aaron's line, who once a year appeared before God for only a few moments on behalf of the people. But Jesus is highly exalted, and he is before God constantly, forever before God, not just a few minutes like Aaron's priests. Highly exalted. So that's one way he's able to encourage his people. If you were Jewish, you would understand that right away. Whoa! This is the type of Savior we have. And you know, Hebrews is kind of arranged that way. You know, it has these five different warning passages in it. And then tucked in between those warning passages, there's these passages that tell us something really, really neat about Jesus. And that's what we have here today. One of those passages that really tells us something that's unique and special about Jesus. It makes him better than anything else. Better than Aaron, especially. The Jewish way, the Jewish priesthood. Secondly, he's able to encourage his people because Jesus was fully tempted in every way. That's verse 15. He was exposed to the same experiences that you and I go through. And therefore, he has an unequal capacity to understand all those things that we go through. These people could then realize that Jesus understood all the dangers, all the grief, all the trials that came their way in life. That was not a reason to leave. never have to be afraid to go to Jesus. No matter what it's about, no matter what time of day it is. And everything needs too busy. It's too busy for this little thing that I have today. You don't have to be afraid. That's in contrast to the fear people had of approaching God in the temple. It was only available to the high priest once per year. Jesus, according to this passage, was tempted in every way, yet without sin. He didn't sin once. And he is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. He endured triumphantly over every form of testing that man could endure. Yet without any weaknesses, weakening of his faith in God. You know, when you and I experience pain or injuries, there is a limit that we can go to before that pain is too great. And then we go into numbness or shock when we pass out. Happened to be about a month ago. Ran out of water. What your body automatically do. It shuts down, you pass out, and fall over. You fall over. And that's, your body has those kind of limitations in us because we're human. And it's the same way with temptation, too. When we are tempted, there's a level that we can experience, a level that we'll never experience because we give in before we reach that level. Everybody, if you expose yourself constantly to that kind of temptation, guess what? Eventually, you're going to fall into it. But we're to run from that stuff. But Jesus Christ had no limitation. Since he was sinless, he took the full extent of everything that Satan could throw at him. He experienced every temptation to the maximum limit that we can experience. So he knows everything that we know. And a lot more about temptation, a lot more about testing, a lot more about pain than we could ever know. Because he is the Son of God. And that is the high priest who is especially prepared to sympathize with our weaknesses and our feelings. Isn't Jesus great? Jesus is wonderful as our high priest. The second qualification I found is found in verses 1 through 4. Christ fulfilling the requirements for priestly service. So that's the requirement, or one of the qualifications that Christ had as serving as our high priest. Look at verses 1 to 4. Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins, as well for the sins of the people. No one takes his honor upon himself unless he's called by God, just as Aaron was. So there were requirements for serving as priest in Israel. And every Jew would know that. Say, wait a minute. There are a list of prerequisites to be a priest. And let's see if Jesus fulfills these requirements. First requirement that I found in verse 1 is that he had to be a man in order to represent men. Couldn't be an angel. Couldn't be an animal. Had to be a man. Since every high priest is selected from among men. Jesus is 100% God, and he's 100% man. He is the God-man. He's God in the flesh. His Savior was selected from among men, because Jesus was a man. He was also God, but he laid aside his glory and became a man, just like why he had to suffer sacrifice for his own sins as well as for the sins of the people. The priest must deal with the problem that separates men from God. And Jesus became not only our priest, but also the sacrifice itself for our sins. Thirdly, the priest must be appointed by God. I see that in verse 4. No one takes his honor upon himself. He must be called by God, just as Aaron was. Jesus couldn't call himself to be our high priest. Jesus became obedient to his Father's will, even death on the cross. You know, maybe your image of a priest is a man wearing a long black robe with his collar turned around backwards. And his purpose is to baptize, to marry, and to bury. Or as some say, to hatch, match, and dispatch. Those ideas have nothing to do with the priesthood. Christ fulfilled God's requirements for priestly service. The third qualification for Jesus to serve as our high priest is Jesus was a son and a priest who learned obedience through suffering. You see that in verses 5 to 10. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest. But God said to him, "You are my son. Today I become your father." He says in another place, "You are a priest forever," in the word of Melchizedek. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for those who obey him. He was designated by God to be the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Jesus was not from the line of Judah, or not from the line, was from the line of Judah, and not the line of Levi or Aaron. It was necessary to be from the line of Levi or Aaron to be high priest. So how could Jesus be qualified to be our great high priest? Well, three reasons. First of all, God appointed Jesus to serve as high priest according to verses 5 and 6. This is God's decision. There are two quotations we find from the Old Testament, one's from Psalm 2:7 and the other from Psalm 110:4, as proof that God appointed Jesus as a Melchizedek type priest, recognized by God as king as well as priest. Secondly, God shows us that Jesus is a man who can sympathize with sinful people, according to verses 7 and 8. Jesus can sympathize with us because he became a man, and just like us, was subject to death and other weaknesses that humans have. He had emotions just like we have. And he learned obedience. He became qualified serve as our high priest because he learned what obedience to the full will of God can cost. Thirdly, God made Jesus complete or perfectly qualified to serve as high priest by his suffering, according to verses 9 through 10. He was made perfect. God designated Jesus to serve as priest. Obey this priest is what he asked us to do. And that's what this talks about in John chapter 6, verse 29, where it says, Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." The word there, believe, is not a one-time action. It's continuing tense. We are to believe
turn my back and go back. Go back, go away from me. You know, having a testimony about Jesus and talking about God. And wouldn't it be just easier just to go away?
Jesus learned what it feels like to hang on. And pain makes us want to throw in the towel. He knows what it's like. Yet he obeyed without sin. And what an encouragement that must have been to the believers in Rome who were at wit's end with the persecution that was happening there. With death on the streets, death in the Colosseum, the Christians. And you know what? It helps us today too as we go through our own discipleship process with our Lord. We grow too through our suffering, become more and more like Jesus. It's a deep passage. I don't think we can really deal completely or fully with this passage without writing on paper about every single verse. Many of us go through those times and we think about just walking away. Not telling anybody where we're going, just walking away. I'm sure they felt that many times too, alone. But this book, the whole book there, is telling them to hang on. Because Jesus is better. There's no other place you can go. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. A couple questions I have for you as I close today. First question, I want you to think about your life a little bit. Are you going through a trial that has you at wit's end? Is there something going on with you right now that it has you nailed to the wall? I mean, absolutely nailed to the wall. And you're wondering how God can help you with this. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus during those times. He'll show his help to you, his wonder to you. I had that happen. You know, somebody in our family had a baby this past week. Most of you don't know that, but that's why we were gone. And now I'm helping with just taking care of the other kids while the baby was born. And, you know, they were kind of disappointed because the baby was breech. And they really wanted to have a natural birth. But, oh, baby's breech. How could this be? You know, we prayed about it so much, yet still the baby is breech. So they set up the C-section time, and they went down, and they had the operation. And as they were doing the operation, they noticed that the umbilical cord was deformed. And so they quickly put a clamp on the umbilical cord so it didn't burst. The mother would have gone through a natural process of giving birth, probably would have exploded, and the mom would have died, and the baby would have died. So this guy said, I really noticed how God was in control and caring for us through every moment of that. But they had to believe. They had to put their trust in Jesus. Trust. Obey. Don't run. Don't go AWOL. Don't jump ship. Trust. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he'll do what? He'll make your paths
straight.
Straight. That's what we want. So when you're nailed to the wall, when you're at wit's end about something, trust. Don't run. Trust in Jesus. Secondly, do you need strength to maintain your testimony where you're at? You know, there are always people watching us, aren't there? Always people that are not Christians, they're looking at us and say, oh, so let's just watch him. Let's see how he or she does during this time when they're being nailed against. Thank you for this passage about Jesus being greater than Aaron, greater than anything the world has offered. He understands